life, with various Barcelona institutions dotted along it. It's also still a lovely place to sit and have a café con leche or a chocolato con churros, rich hot chocolate with thin donuts. Or if you keep an eye out on your right-hand side, down a side street called the Calle de Telles, you'll see a large brown sign saying Boedas Cocktail. This is one of the famous bars of Barcelona. It first opened in 1933, and Hemingway and Picasso were among its regular customers. These days, it's probably best just to go and say you've been there. The next Rambla we're going to walk along is the Rambla dels Estudios. As the name suggests, it's named after the students that once hung out here when there was a university building at the top end of this street. It was closed down at the beginning of the 18th century because of concerns about revolutionary activity and possible rebellion against Madrid. One thing you'll realise about Barcelona is that it's long been a hotbed of revolution. For most of its modern history, Catalonia has been fighting the rest of Spain. And don't forget, this is Catalonia, not Spain. And although Spanish is usually spoken, you'll still see signs in the Catalan language as well. The pinky-yellow building on your right, with the Gothic decorations of men with wings, and the sign above the doorway which reads Real Academia de Ciencias y Arts, is also known as the Poliorama building. It was one of the first cinemas to open in Barcelona in the 1920s, and it later became a theatre. During the Spanish Civil War, George Orwell, who was fighting here with the communists, took refuge up on the roof and wrote about it in his memoir, Homage to Catalonia. We'll talk about the Civil War later. This next stretch of road is also known as the Rambla of the Birds, both because of the ones that are sold here, rather spookily, in cages along with other animals, but also because of the sparrows that live in the trees above your head. The young Picasso, who was brought here by his father, was fascinated by the noise and colour of these birds and said that they inspired him later in his work. You'd hardly think it today, but for much of its existence, the Ramblas was lined with churches, convents and monasteries. Most of them were knocked down in the last 200 years. But coming up on the right now, you'll see a building with big, rough-hewn bricks and little green-tiled roofs. It's also got a very narrow pavement along the side of it. It's one of the few religious buildings that are left in the Ramblas. This former church, the Iglesia de Betlem, is all that remains of what was once a Jesuit college. It was built between the 17th and 18th centuries, and you'll get an even better view of it from the street that runs alongside it off the Ramblas. It's called the Carrer del Carme. The whole exterior of this building might look pretty impressive, and it's a classic example of Spanish Gothic architecture. But tragically, the inside, once equally ornate, was destroyed during the Civil War. The Carrer del Carme, by the way, is an interesting street to walk along if you get the chance, because it still contains some very traditional and very ornate shops, such as the Lenceria El Indio at number 24, which is a draper's which was founded in 1870. And if you don't fancy paying Ramblas prices, there are some pretty good restaurants down here too. We've put the best of them in your printed guide. The next building along the Ramblas on your right, the one set slightly back from the roadside with the elegant square wrought iron balconies, is the Palau de la Virreina. It was built for a nobleman who had made his fortune as Viceroy of Peru in the late 18th century, when the Ramblas was developing from a slum into a smart street for wealthy people to live in and parade up and down. The palace is actually named after his young widow. The story goes that she was betrothed to the former Viceroy's nephew, but when the old and very rich man saw her in her wedding dress, he fell in love with her and wooed her successfully. Unfortunately, the marriage